DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have to feel like that's a song that's going to be played at a few tailgates on Saturday at Neyland Stadium.
Why is that?
I don't know. Seems like a song people might listen to.
Oh, I thought it had this guy was from Knoxville or something.
No, I don't know. It just seems like there's probably some Tennessee fans that like this guy. Certainly some Georgia fans that do.
Oh, okay.
You know, country music fans.
Again.
I'm just making a generalization there.
Oh.
But,
I would definitely agree. It's definitely good tailgating music.
But, you know.
Let's put you on right here.
Well, not everybody, but some.
Oh, I feel like
if you're from the mountains up that way,
mm-hmm.
you're a Tennessee fan,
mm-hmm.
pickup truck drive to a tailgate,
mm-hmm.
you might play that on a speaker.
Best thing about the tailgate, though, is if you walk from tailgate to tailgate, the way the different kinds of music bleed together mm-hmm. and – you know, you got different genres, different vibes. Some people are mellow. Some people are hyped up. I love the blend of the music that just creates a nice festive atmosphere of a lot of different people figuring out some way to cheer for the same team and enjoy. That's always a really fun thing.
It's what it's all about. It's the great unifier.
Mm-hmm.
Sports in general, college football,
yes,
football.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Brings all these people together that otherwise might not normally be together.
I agree with that.
And it blend together like a delicious soup. Brandon Adams joins us from Dog Nation Daily, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. We'll get to that. Let's just start with Georgia. Obviously, two games and the last one, weird delay, weather, not great. What do you feel like you know about Georgia after 2 weeks?
Well, certainly not enough. I mean, a loss is on the table at Tennessee on Saturday, and that's at least noteworthy because in every game Georgia's played in Neyland since 2017, they've all been blowout wins. The last time in 2023 was 38-10. They've all been about that dominant, if not more so, over that span. But this feels like, for better or worse, a slightly different version of Georgia. College football in general isn't as deep at the top as it once was. The top national championship favorites right now are about 6-1. There are plenty of years in which that might be 2-1, 3-1. So just by that measuring stick, the very best teams aren't as deep as they've been in the past. That seems to have some impact on Georgia, who we think of at least near the top. But given how, in this case, it's mostly the offense, and frankly, it's mostly the offensive line passing game, given how shaky that appeared to be against what we think is supposed to be an overmatched opponent, obviously, it is possible that Georgia loses on Saturday at Tennessee. Goodness knows, I hope that doesn't happen. And obviously, Georgia's still favored for what it's worth. But a loss is a possibility that you've got to be on guard for. And Georgia's got to play better to prevent from occurring.
And that's why I said that earlier, B. I was like, this is the closest, this is the best chance that Heupel has to beat Georgia in a while. And because of the offense. And again, you can say, and Andy made a great point, you can say it's vanilla and all those different things, but there were big plays we had. Gunnar Stockton just didn't throw the ball to the mm-hmm. guy, or they missed on something like that. So, I mean, if they hit them, this shouldn't be a problem. It's just we ain't seen them hit them in 2 weeks.
And I still am going to lean on what Kirby has spent most of the calendar year talking about. You know, year begins in January. We roll through spring practice, fall camp, and now we're here. Most of these months have been spent talking about how you get the running game going, how you stop the run better. Obviously, they know they've got a brand new quarterback, but they brought in new wide receivers to hopefully help with
exactly.
that.
Exactly. They didn't bring them in a block.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's why, and I said this on Monday, you got to have Colby Young, Noah Thomas, Zachariah Branch, 15 catches between the three of them at least. They got to have big days on Saturday. But it still comes down to, can Georgia be the more physical, more Georgia-like team? Can they run it? Can they stop the run? And if they can, I believe they can minimize the level to which Gunnar Stockton is a top story in this game. And no disrespect to Gunnar, but that's probably a better version of Georgia. If the next time we're sitting here next Tuesday, if we're just not talking a ton about Gunnar Stockton, that means that Georgia may have won by two touchdowns.
That's interesting.
That's very interesting.
It kind of gets back to something somebody brought up yesterday about quarterback position at Georgia and the offense in general and all of that. And that all could change if they play well over the next couple of weeks and change people's perception of it. Let me ask you about the injuries, because obviously some pretty big guys have gotten hurt in the first couple of weeks. Which injuries do you feel like are, all right, that's okay, you'll be able to go on Saturday, and which ones do you feel like are serious?
So I would say the one most likely to play, if I had to bet, is probably Ernest Green. Okay. I think the Ernest Green's the safest bet to play. There's some rumor mill stuff that would lead you to believe that Juan Gaston may be okay. I'm not sure I buy that, just simply because that is a very big guy, and if it really is the ankle as it's been described, that ankle is like a load-bearing structure for this gigantic dude. I'd be surprised if we see Gaston. I would be optimistic you might see Ernest Green, and that maybe means it's a Dontrell Glover slotting at right guard. He played on Saturday, seemed to do okay. I'm guessing that for whatever reason, if there is some movement with the offensive tackle spot, you know, Bo Hughley played second half on Saturday. He may be another option to help fill in supplant there, but I think there's a good chance the Green plays and Georgia needs him. I think if I had to bet, maybe a little less likely that Juan Gaston plays, but maybe Glover holds up okay. It seems like they like him pretty well, too, as a young guy.
What about this weekend, B.A.? Go back to Saturday. It was just, I mean, I'm watching the game. It just felt weird. You were there. I mean, the atmosphere as far as the game moved up, the delay, just all kinds of just non-football stuff.
It was weird. I mean, if you're playing Tennessee last Saturday, you're not moving the game up an hour, right? So that tells you everything you need to know. When they played Austin Peay in 2018, they shortened the game on the back end. So
They are
one step away from playing this game in the indoor facility. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just barely a football game.
They're just going to simulate it?
Yeah, this is barely a football game at this point. But Georgia has been here before. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just pointing out something that happens. Georgia plays bad against what we think of as lesser competition all the time. People were losing their mind, you know, when they played poorly against Kent State, for instance, in 2022. Now, this time may be different. This Georgia team, unlike the 2022 team, maybe they don't just flip the switch. And in the NBA, we call it going into playoff mode. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't go into playoff mode because it's still youngish guys. And, you know, who knows? It's just not quite as easy to turn the dial up and down. In the past, they have. This game on Saturday reminded me of some of the lackluster performances in these kinds of games for Georgia in the past. But maybe this time it's more of a harbinger because there's a lot less certainty with very inexperienced quarterback and a team a year ago that probably just showed more blemishes than we're used to seeing at least this era of Georgia really show.
Brandon Adams joining us here, host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. You said something interesting just a couple of minutes ago about if Gunnar Stockton's not the story Saturday or next week when we talk or whatever, they'll could possibly win by a couple touchdowns. Who needs to be the story? Like, well, if that's the case and they do win, who do you think the big story is?
I will answer that, but let me also say this as a comparison. The Philadelphia Eagles are the world champions. Is Jalen Hurts the main story of the Eagles? I would suggest probably not.
Well, certainly not Barkley. After Thursday.
Well, right. But, you know, Barkley's a 2,000-yard back, really good defense. So good teams can have a quarterback that's not the lead story. I would say that. But as far as who needs to be, this is to me the most optimistic thing you can try to extract from two games that admittedly are pretty meaningless. There's a chance this Georgia defense is back. Not 2021. I don't think anybody will ever be that again. Jalen Carter was a backup on that team. That's ridiculous. but Joseph Jonah Janye looks like he could be it. Gabe Harris looks like he could be it. Chris Cole on third down.
Oh, boy.
I like that guy.
Yeah, could be it. Yeah. Yes, Ellis Robinson finally getting his chance after 1 year of not playing much a year ago. Gets an interception. He could be it. If you want to lean into the optimism from a Georgia fan standpoint, I think they've put a lot of emphasis in getting better where it counts on defense, and it may have worked. They needed to show up on Saturday because Tennessee is hard to defend. For whatever reason, Kirby's always had the recipe against Josh Heupel. Maybe that replicates, yeah. Maybe it doesn't. But, boy, they got some guys that may be ready to step up and make this be a defense that reminds you more of Georgia again.
You're looking at some new college football news just came down as far as the senior advisor of football was just named Justin Fuentes. Whatever that role.
Why do I know that name?
He was former coach at Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
That's right. Yeah.
And at Memphis before that's that.
Right. Yeah, okay. So whatever that role is.
The point of that is that once you get a coaching job, you'll also have a job doing something else for the rest of your life.
Basically what you're saying.
Once you're in the club, you just bounce around from spot to spot.
Yeah, can we just get some sort of jobs on this, like these boards or something like that?
Man,
just let me be on the college football commission.
Exactly.
$150 a year.
B.A., okay? Not that we give a damn, but Florida just, I don't know. I don't know what.
B.A. does look at his shirt.
Oh, no, we care.
I got the shirt.
Gator Hater shirt on today. Let me tell you something.
That's my sport.
To watch Florida scuffle through another loss at home against what should be an overmatched opponent to have more embarrassment. Player gets a penalty for spitting. For Georgia fans, in addition to the success that Georgia's enjoyed, these Gators are the gift that gives on giving. They find new ways to embarrass themselves every single year. And as somebody who grew up in a very different era of Florida football, when they were obviously much more buttoned up, much more professional, I can't get enough of the new ways in which they face plant. I say give me more. I think with the tough schedule they're about to play, there is more coming. But no, Saturday was very enjoyable on behalf of all Georgia fans. And more coming where that came from, I would predict.
Abe really liked that 45 seconds of the show today. Let me ask you this, because I know that you have all of these stories. We often just talk about this week and next week and all of that, but this is a big matchup historically. There's a lot of great games in the past between Georgia and Tennessee. Maybe a favorite memory or two from this matchup in the past?
Well, obviously for me, you go back to 2001, it's the Hobnail Boot game. That's the famous Larry Munson call.
Randy played in that.
Randy's my guy on that because he had two huge catches. Yes. And I remember that just as good as anything. I'll make that comparison real quick, too. That was Larry Munson's Jack Nicklaus 1986 at the Masters. Mm. The best years of Munson had seemingly gone by. He was in the winter of his career, and he had one of the best he ever had. Kind of right there at the end. He would call games for a few more years. To me, that's Nicklaus in Augusta, 1986. The old guys still got it. In 2001, a great win for the players in the field, memorable for Larry Munson, and just sometimes late in the career, winner of your career, you're as good as you ever were. And on that day, that's what Larry Munson was.
It was a hell of a call.
Great call.
Step on their faces.
I mean, it's one of the all-time great calls.
It is.
I mean, yeah, that's awesome.
And for those of us who were there that day, we don't know, and we don't know about the great call until you get in the car. Because back then, you didn't have social media, things like that. So you're driving home from Knoxville, and everybody's talking about the call, and now you get a chance to have this experience after having watched it in real time to realize that Munson was at his apex. Boy, that...
D.C. sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Made the drive home even more fun, too.
Brandon, thank you.
Appreciate it, B.
Have fun. Guys. Drive safe.
Looking forward to
it. Have a good time in Knoxville on Saturday. We'll come back. We'll get to an AMA to wrap things up. Any question, any topic, the phone lines are open at 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
D.C. sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.